Mini episode 998 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 998. We are here today talking about the Triple Crown and looking back specifically at the Belmont when Justify was able to put it away and become the second horse in recent years to do this. It's weird the way that history goes in these clumps. You look at the 30s and the 40s and then really nothing again until 73, 77, 78. Fast forward to 2015 with American Pharoah. Another Bob Baffert horse brings it home this time in Justified. And again, Steve, you and I did a little contest heading into this here with the great Jody McDonald. Jody Mac passed on Justify, leaving him to me in the second spot here. Obviously, I am the winner of our Triple Crown contest, as anyone could tell you based on that level of knowledge. But in looking at this here again, the chalk horse coming in, I had referenced again, I doubled down. My second round draft pick was another one of the ones that hadn't raced as a 2 year old. So I said, I'm doubling down on the curse of 1882 here. But we figured all of us that it was going to happen at some point, that it was going to be a horse that was going to win at least the Kentucky Derby that hadn't raced as a 2 year old. I figured it's probably going to be a horse with great breeding, bloodlines, qualifications coming in. This was another one of these Baffert super horses. Everybody all along seemed to put it just a tick behind American Pharoah, but given that American Pharoah is one of the greatest all time, that's still not that bad. And even being a tick behind American Pharoah was enough to get you this Triple Crown. The performances in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, not necessarily overwhelming. You get into the Belmont, going wire to wire. And now even a little bit of controversy coming out of that, a little bit of the whining after the fact about have we seen NASCAR-type teamwork tactics as far as allegedly blocking or putting another horse in the race just to serve as sort of a stalking horse for the other horses in the field and sort of play a spoiler for the winner. There have been all kinds of things that kind of lead to a little bit of a different feel, and there was sort of this national jubilation after American Pharoah did it, just because we didn't know if it was going to happen in our lifetimes. It had been so long. And so obviously the feel of it, while it's still a big deal, has been different, but it's also been some of these other factors as well. Probably not quite as great as American Pharoah, not quite as impressive leading up to the Belmont, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, Steve, a Triple Crown is still a Triple Crown, and I am fascinated to get your thoughts on this.
I think this restoring hope went out and blocked for Justify is really much ado about nothing. I mean, first of all, a lot of trainers put horses in. It was interesting that Baffert would put one of his horses in, who essentially busted out for the lead. And he did have the owner deserved it and this and that. I just don't think, since your horse is going to be on the lead, you don't want another horse really busting out there for the lead. A, but if B, if you did it, it's perfectly legal. Now, did he really do this for that purpose? I really think not. The horse was like 3-4 wide the whole first turn. He was, I won't say he was uncontrollable, but he certainly didn't have smooth position inside. I'm not talking about Justify. He went right to the lead. I'm talking about Restoring Hope. But here's another factor. You guys know I worked at the harness track for 10 years. I drove harness horses. I trained them. And we have a saying at the track. And in a race like this, here's what the saying would be. They could have gone around again, and they still wouldn't have beaten Justify. And that was my view of the end, because Gronkowski kind of came to him in the stretch, and then Justify just kind of drew off a little more at the end. So nobody was getting to him. I give Gronkowski a lot of credit. As you know, Rick, my first selection in the Derby was Good Magic, because you had taken Justify. And Good Magic raced great in the Derby, finished second, $69 exacta, hard not to have that if you like Good Magic. And he also went head-to-head with him in the Preakness. The reason I bring that up is because his trainer is Chad Brown, and Chad Brown, Gronkowski came over from Europe, and Chad Brown was his trainer for the last month, and I don't know, I think he's a great trainer, Chad Brown, but he got this horse who really had no hope on most people's view, had not beaten anybody, went off at 25-1, was 15 lengths behind at the first quarter, and somehow made a run, and the only horse to really make a run at Justify in the Belmont in the stretch, and he only got beat a length and three quarters. But I'll say it again, they could have gone around again and they wouldn't have beaten him. The reason I thought they could beat Justify in the Belmont is because it's the end of the Preakness. And, you know, the Derby's about a quarter, the Preakness is a mile and 3/16. I've written for years they should reverse, you know, you should always go a little longer. But that's not how the Triple Crown is. It used to be different years ago, by the way. I mean, like 1890s years ago. They used to race the Preakness for it sometimes. But to go from a mile and a quarter to a mile and 3/16 and then have two closers coming in on Justify at the end of a mile and 3/16, you got to be thinking, oh, if they went another 16th and a quarter of a mile, he's got to get beat. I think that was the theory. But no, he got the lead. Mike Smith is a master. Give him credit, 52 years old, wins the Triple Crown. But you can't take anything away from the horse. And I think that whole thing with Restoring Hope was just, you know, sore losers, frankly. At least that's my opinion.
I kind of agree with that as well. And I'm very interested to ask you this, Joe, sitting there basically in the Atlantic corridor here of Philadelphia, because obviously, as we all know, the second and third stretches of the Triple Crown, respectively, Baltimore and New York. So you're sitting there sort of perched in between. You are out there most weekends talking to the good folks of Philadelphia on 97.5, the Fanatic. I'm curious for what kind of buzz there was in the air in a city out there on the East Coast, not too far removed from either of these two big races, as we're looking at the prospect of another Triple Crown champion and how big that is in racing. But we all know that, again, horse racing really sort of struggles to penetrate the mainstream. It can do so at its very highest moments, like if there's a Triple Crown or a near Triple Crown. And quite frankly, I'm struggling to think of what other times there would be, because no matter what happens in the Breeders' Cup, I don't think it's causing much beer to spill down at the average at American Legion Hall anywhere in America. So, you know, with this thing being about as big of a deal as it could be in the world of racing, what was the sense you were getting from your callers and the people of Philadelphia from your perch as a media guy?
Well, Rick, I got to tell you, I was in the hospital for both the Preakness and the Belmont.
Ooh.
But when I wasn't, the weeks leading up to it, not a ton of buzz. Here's what I equated to. I equated to if Tiger is in the mix on day four, everyone hits the TVs. And, you know, everyone wants to see a Triple Crown. And people gather for it. A lot of money's exchanging hands. And, you know what? I love it. I wasn't in the hospital, although I saw it on a small TV. But it brings people together, believe it or not, people that don't talk about horses the whole year. Then you have these Justify experts that call in, and I was a tenfold guy, to be honest with you. I got screwed out of some money in that Preakness race, but you know, hey, listen, you got to give it up to Justify. I didn't run as a 2-year-old, led wire to wire, I think, in basically all the races. You know, broke, like you mentioned, Rick broke the Percival Apollo 1882. About that. Seems like every time there's a winner, they touch like Bobby Clemens. Bobby Bradford. And he's always doing something, positive and looks like all the time. Justify has some good bloodlines, like you mentioned. You asked, he comes from Seattle Fruit and Secretariat, believe it or not.
Yep.
I could win a race if my great grandfather was Secretariat. it seems exciting, to be honest with you. I'm always pulling for a Triple Crowner, and except when I had Tenfold. And I think, Steve, you had Tenfold, too.
I did, because he was closing in the Preakness, yeah.
Yes, we did. So it was exciting watching another Triple Crown first time since 15. It's history. It's history, and Bob Bradford seems to get it done again. And it was exciting, brings people together, and I look forward to it every year.
Exactly, and I'm not surprised to hear that it wasn't gripping the callers of Philly with quite the ferocity as, oh, say, five-way trades for how to get LeBron to the Sixers and clear out cap room.
It's been LeBron barn, you know, all day, all night. Right there. All day, all night. That's it.
LeBron and Colangelo's wife's burner accounts. So, you know,
right.
little bit of that.
That was one of the most bizarre stories in the history of, you know, the world or the universe. It's just ridiculous.
You got to.
Regardless, a quick question. How was that viewed outside of Philadelphia? Colangelo, the box.
It's viewed with a great amount of, first and foremost, it could only happen in this day and age, as far as the way that the internet has sort of grown and the Twitterverse is out there. And I will tell you, and you know, feel free to run back and spread this in Philly everywhere, because our basketball analyst here in the FDH Lounge, Ben Chu, who for a long time ran the great NBA website, that NBALotteryPick.com, and Ben is just about the foremost hoops maven and historian that I know. For being a millennial, you don't often put millennial and historian in the same breath, but Ben is exceptional in many different ways. But, you know, he said in looking at this, he said, you know, whoever did this, whoever pieced it together, had to have a lot of tech savvy and a lot of thoughts and whatever. And guess who's working out in Silicon Valley right about now? Guess who is out there in exile? Good old Sam Hinkie. Let me ask you, Joe, any speculation in town that any of his acolytes might have had something to do with unwinding this?
I got to tell you, people would be for it, believe it or not. People would be big time for it. There's a lot of Hinkies still around here. Me included, I would love to see him back here. He's not going to come back here under any circumstances. I will say this. It's been David Griffin, a lot of talk about David Griffin. Anything to lure LeBron, to give us an edge, you know, kind of throw some chum at LeBron, chum out there to see if he bites, and maybe if he, you know, comes down to, you know, one team or the Sixers, it might, you know, kind of string him along to the Sixers because of, you know, his relationship with David Griffin. You know, and unfortunately, he wanted him to extend his contract with Cleveland, and Gilbert did not, so he was ousted. He also ousted Kyrie Irving when LeBron wanted him to stay there as well. So LeBron's not happy with ownership, but I think if anything, it might attract LeBron. Any small thing to do, people are kind of, and I know you mentioned it too, some other guys that had on the show mentioned it, either David Griffin or Sam Hinkie back in the mix. All the Hinkieites and all the process people around here, we'd probably have another parade for Hinkie if he was involved in that and came back to be the GM. It doesn't get any better than that.
Well, I'll tell you what, as I said on your show, Joe, again, it would help you with LeBron because, LeBron knows that, as we all do, that Gilbert was an idiot for firing his genius general manager. It'll help. But as I said on your show, you should get David Griffin regardless because he's outstanding at what he does. And he pulled rabbits out of hats all the time with the cap when he was with the Cavs. And that's what you got to do when you got LeBron, because you got to pull rabbits out of hats as far as cap room goes, because you're in full win now mode. So yes, you guys can't go wrong whether or not you get LeBron, if you get a guy like David Griffin at the helm, because God bless Griff. He had a lot to do with getting the title here and getting the parts around LeBron in 2016. Turning to you, Steve, just to kind of wrap up here on the Triple Crown, you are pretty much, you and Bob Glassman, I would say, are our biggest horse racing honks among the FDH Lounge dignitaries, so I know that this is always a huge subject for you whenever, again, the horse racing manages to penetrate the mainstream as it did here this run for Justify, and the thought that, again, much like American Pharoah, the last I heard, I think he was going to run one more time before getting sent out to that very lucrative stud life that he's got here, a record $75 million, I believe, that has been secured for his rights, and that they think a lot of that may already be covered by some of the folks looking to breed their fillies with this horse here. So before this horse goes off to the fat life, getting laid and getting paid, any additional thoughts on what we saw?
Yeah, two additional thoughts. As you said, Bob Baffert has now won two Triple Crowns, which is really... You know, if I could have bet for the last 30 years that no trainer would win two Triple Crowns, I would have bet the house and been homeless as of last Sunday. But we should mention that Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, who was a top trainer in the 30s, also won two Triple Crowns. So in the history of the Kentucky Derby, which goes back to, I think, 1876, Only two guys have won two Triple Crowns, so for Bob Baffert to join that elite group is maybe the most elite group that there is, frankly. I just found that fascinating. The other thing I find fascinating is they've already announced that Justify is going to continue to race. Now, he won't race more than, you know, his three-year-old year, but I wondered aloud whether or not, I don't think he can get more valuable. And I just don't know if he keeps racing and gets beat, whether that takes down some of his value. I would think the answer is, to some degree, yes. You know, I don't know, maybe he's worth $75 million and then he's worth $65 million. I don't know. But it's interesting to me. I'm glad he's racing because I hate it. They retire all these horses, you know, pretty much after their three-year-old year, unless they're a gelding or a filly. But I find it fascinating that they're going to keep racing him because only Seattle Slough is another factoid. Only Seattle Slough and Justify are the two horses in the history of horse racing who won the Triple Crown as undefeated horses. So, again, to me, I think his value might go down a little if he gets beat, and I think it'll go down more than a little if he gets beat badly. I'm not saying he will. I'm thrilled he's racing. I just found it interesting that they didn't retire him after his race. I'm glad maybe he'll go to the Haskell at Monmouth, so Joe and I will go down there and, like, bet football games in August, you know, a month in advance or something at Monmouth Park where they started, the governor made the first bet. Nobody told me what he bet, Joe. I don't know if you heard anything about that.
No, I did not.
But you know, either the Haskell or maybe he'll go off to Saratoga race in the Travers. Maybe he sticks around for the Breeders' Cup. I just find it fascinating. Maybe he'll race. One thing that maybe could increase his value is if he beat older horses, because obviously the Triple Crown is all three-year-olds. But, boy, that would be taking a chance, in my opinion. But I could be wrong. I don't really know the perfect analysis of values for studs. But, again, he's now an undefeated Triple Crown winner. And that, to me, I don't know how he can do better. Although, as I'm thinking out loud with you guys, maybe if he did go to the Breeders' Cup and beat aged horses, that might even increase his value. But, yeah, just an incredible accomplishment for Baffert and Mike Smith, and, of course, Justify.
Exactly. And as relates to the owners, in terms of the forecast out there for what they were going to make, I believe that's locked in. So I believe they're guaranteed their $75 million and that is a record. So, yeah, it's an interesting thought as to whether they potentially could have done even better than that or conceivably whether there might be anything left open on the back end here. You know, who knows how much energy this horse is going to have. You don't know if it's going to be shooting blanks after going through $75 million worth of fillies. You know, I think we could speculate about what human males might be like after going through put through those kind of paces, but I'm not sure there's any kind of analogy for that or not. I'll just leave you guys with this thought. Proof, if proof were still needed, that Bob Baffert is a much classier man than I am, because after you win your second Triple Crown, how do you not grab the mic and say, Dwayne Lucas, you can suck it? I think that's what a lot of people would have done. He didn't even think about going there. So God bless you, Bob Baffert. God bless you guys for being a part of the show today. Thank you all for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 998.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.